JT live in Vegas.
No chance an inaugural expansion hockey team's going to make the playoffs. Stop. They did.
The Knights win the Pacific Division in their inaugural season.
This city must turn into a hockey city on the radio fast. Talked to a friend today and he said, listen, it's all gravy from here on out. I go, you're wrong. It's not all gravy. You didn't get here to lose in the first bleeping round.
He's gone. All through his legs. Carlson, shorthanded.
I'm going to let you act like a hockey town the way they do in Detroit and Boston.
We got to match the intensity that they're going to bring. They have the experience, but we got home ice.
Somebody with a pulse.
This playoff, every game matters.
Here come the Knight fans.
What Vegas is going to bring into that arena is going to be incredible.
Let's act like a hockey town. Let's do our job. Let's go balls out every day for an hour. That's the only radio I do. I'm ready to go. I'm fired up.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
And now, live from Las Vegas, here's JT the Brick.
Great to have you, JT, with a fresh week of flagship Golden Knights talk. How's that sound? Heard it in that opening. Bobby put it together a couple of weeks ago. Sound off like you got a pair. If you're a hockey fan, let's get rolling. Courtesy of Golden Entertainment. PT's Sierra Gold, the SG Bar, the Stratosphere. Anywhere where you want to watch hockey in town, a PT's Tavern, a PT's Gold, the perfect spot for gaming, beverages, unbelievable food, the upgraded menus, everything you love right here in the Valley at a PT's. Hope everybody had a great weekend. I'm thrilled to be on the radio this week. Humbled, excited, whatever you want to say, because this is a dream for a lot of people now. We're talking hockey deep into April, heading into May, and we have a team that is one of the favorites to win the Stanley Cup. Never, ever drawn up by anyone from the NHL executive offices. Nobody from Canada had this coming. And obviously in Vegas, the patience of Mr. Foley to get the franchise, $500 million, very expensive. Let's remind everybody of that too. Very expensive. This wasn't a deal to get a franchise in Vegas. Mr. Foley put it together, George McPhee, Gerard Gallant, and then a bunch of guys that a lot of teams didn't want, didn't protect, and maybe a draft that came together a little bit quicker than everybody expected. But forget about the past. It's the future with this team coming off a sweep of the rough and tough and gruff LA Kings and now playing a very similar team with the San Jose Sharks. Another team, a rival that's bigger, a little bit stronger, more defensive-minded, and will make you pay and really wear you out. The good news is these sweeps, especially for the Golden Knights, doesn't wear you out because they've had so much time off. So any energy expended in the first series, which was a lot, those were overtime and 1-0 games, real physical, that took a lot out of that team, they got it all back. They went to the gas station and they're full. Everybody's full on that team. The practice today, everybody's ready to go. They're healthy, no excuses. So now the team has home ice and we're sitting here waiting for games. When are the games going to be? You know, I always joke with Bobby, who runs the show, I get kicked out of the studio on nights of the games. This hasn't happened for years. I've been back here since 2009. I look forward to getting booted from the studio so we have some hockey and I can talk about it on the air. If you're a hockey fan, start off the week right now, 876-1340. We take hockey calls from hockey fans that understand the magnitude of this global event, 876-1340. Did you try to buy tickets today online? I followed that, and a lot of people were frustrated. clicking, three or four devices open, no tickets. Did anybody get a ticket today in the secondary market? Because you can't resell these ones, but did anybody go online to their website and actually get a ticket? Please, if you did, congratulations. Let's tell your story at 876-1340. Now one of the toughest tickets that Vegas has seen since Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor, where they kicked the majority of the media out to try to sell tickets for $10,000 and $5,000. That actually didn't work out that way, but it was still an expensive ticket. This ticket matters because the Stanley Cup is on the line, the toughest trophy to win. So as you can tell, I'm jacked up for hockey. The draft is coming up on Thursday night. We'll go heavy with the Raider draft all week. We are pretending that we're the Raiders show before anybody else for a reason. The access that I have to the Silver and Black, 19 seasons going on 20, and this draft is the first with John Gruden returning with tremendous power as a head coach who has the ability in the personnel department to make monster decisions with Reggie McKenzie. The Raiders need to hit a home run. They signed a player today, a questionable character player, which I'll get into a little bit later on, and his accusations that are against them that are pretty strong. We'll talk about the additions to the Silver and Black and what they do with the 10th pick overall. They might even trade down. I'm not hearing that. You don't ever trade out of a good pick. You try to keep it. They didn't trade out of Khalil Mack. They didn't trade out of Derek Carr. You get the 10th pick for a reason. Use it. But this year, there's going to be a bunch of teams trading up, possibly. Guys want to jump into number 3 or 5 to get Baker Mayfield. Maybe Josh Rosen. I think Barkley, the running back's the best player in the draft, clearly the best player. He'll go number 1 or 2. I have a feeling he'll drop to number 2 to the Giants. And then all these great defensive players, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Roquan Smith from Georgia. There's some big, good defensive players that can start and potentially be Pro Bowlers. So we'll get into the draft. But I got to get to the NBA because the NBA was huge yesterday. LeBron James back up against the wall. I believe if he goes down 3-1 with that roster, he does not come back. And now with 2-2, I believe he advances against Victor Oladipo in Indiana. He's just a better player and a better team. But for LeBron, they had to win that game, and they found a way to pull it off.
Here goes LeBron, spins down the lane, lays it up and lays it in. He roared right around Bogdanovich to give the Cavaliers a 101-95 lead.
Big win for LeBron, because if he doesn't win, then you're just throwing fuel on the fire that he's not Michael Jordan. And again, he might be better than Michael Jordan. I doubt it. I'll go with Jordan long term, but LeBron's going to pass Jordan in every statistical category, playoffs and regular season by a bunch when it's all said and done, and he's building that resume. But if he gets knocked out in the first round by the Indiana Pacers, it's not a good look for LeBron James. So LeBron stepped up in that game and won, and now LeBron has the series tied and feels pretty confident going forward.
We knew in order to get the series back to us having home court, we had to win one on their floor. We had a great opportunity in game 3. But I've always talked about the best teacher in life is experience, and we was able to experience that in game 3 and not just falter like we did in game 3 tonight when they made a run. We still made shots, we still executed, and we're still able to close out a quarter. You know, not as great as we would like to, but we didn't lose the lead.
You know, I believe, and I say this often on my national show, that this is the most tired topic in sports now, is the LeBron debate. It starts every morning and it goes past midnight. And if there's no news, people make it up. And people try to scream over each other on LeBron James. He made news yesterday. Again, he was the best player on the court. He's an aging superstar that played at a tremendously high level, and we have something to talk about. We'd like to see LeBron advance into the next round because the Celtics are banged up and there's not a lot of star power around the league. Anthony Davis is now a star and is going to get bigger and bigger in the postseason. Steph Curry is hurt. There's no Kyrie Irving. He's hurt. Kawhi Leonard gave up on the season months ago. You better believe we need LeBron James to continue. But I thought Manu Ginobili's performance was the best that I saw this weekend because Greg Popovich's wife passed away. He's not coaching with the team. The Spurs are down 3-0. They really don't have anything to play for other than pride. And Ginobili, one of the more prideful players that we've seen in the last 20 years, dominated the fourth quarter.
He's going to drive on Thompson in the lane, left wing, Mills, left corner, Ginobili for 3. That's a Manu 3 from Patty Mills. Manu Ginobili with a 3-pointer from the left corner. Spurs lead by 13.
Bill Schoening on the call, Spurs Radio, and they win, and now they go back to the Bay Area where they like to eat Italian in North Beach and have a lot of fun. I don't know. I don't think they're going to come back in that series against the Warriors, but that was a great moment for Manu Ginobili to play at that level with so much on the line. Giannis Antetokounmpo was unbelievable. He was amazing. He was incredible with the tip-in down the stretch. The Greek Freak was the difference late.
Maker at the high post. Hand back to Brogdon. Dribble penetration to the rim. The floater is no good. Tipped up and in! Giannis tips it! 104-102. Bucks lead. 5 seconds to go in the game.
Antetokounmpo, Bobby. See how perfect it is the second time? Well, thank you. On the Bucks Radio Network. He's another star I'd like to see play a little bit longer here in the series, because whenever you watch him, he's must-see television, which I thought was fantastic to watch. And a round of applause also for the Washington Wizards. Down 0-2, they are now back in their series because they are playing a great backcourt, and they're playing at a higher level. John Wall had a big game.
Wall goes in attack mode, right of the lane, down to the baseline right, shooting to his left, fading to his right, scores! He has got 25, and the Wizards' biggest lead is now 6.
So that's an extended series. A lot happening on that front, too. So we'll get into the NBA. And again, if you're a Knights fan, you can wait on hold for 10 seconds. We can get you on the radio, 876-1340, if you want to get in. One more quick story was the no-hitter against Bobby's Red Sox over the weekend, and kind of a sketchy one, an error that, and then a play at first base, running out of the baseline, but down the stretch, Oakland sensed it. Manaea had a great game.
A short lead at first by Benintendi, Matt Olson holding on the bag, the infield slightly to pull, and this will be a 2-0 pitch, and it's on the way, and it's swung on a ground ball to short, Simeon's got it, throws to second for the first, and Sean Manaea has no hit the Red Sox.
To the left of the pitcher's mound at the Coliseum in Oakland.
Nice for the A's radio network. That's a big no-hitter because Boston now is 17-4. That's a really good Boston team playing great. Yankees playing tonight against Minnesota. That game's on in studio. There's only a few teams this year that are having exceptional starts to the season. No better than the Red Sox at 17-4. The world champion Astros are at 16-7, off to a decent start. The Mets are at 14-6, along with Philly that also has 14 wins. And what a year so far for the Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks got a 5-game lead in the loss column. 5-game lead over the Rockies with a 15-6 record to start off right now. Let's get out to Nick talking Vegas Golden Knights. Thanks for starting us off, Nick.
How you doing, JT? You probably remember me. Back when the Thunder were here, I was the Carl Jr. mascot, and you were on the ice with me. My son was playing goalie for the Mustangs, a 10-year-old kid, and we had a big night there, and You kept talking about youth hockey, and here we go, Mr. Happy Star, scoring a goal on a goalie and this and that. Remember that?
I do remember it. I remember my buddy John Cicente, who's now the head of the Las Vegas Bowl, and he was boom, boom, and we would hang out back in the day. I remember you, and I remember those days grabbing the microphone in front of some big crowds that showed up to watch hockey before the Knights got here.
That's right. That was the Thunder. And, yeah, John, I'm from Brooklyn. And I was a big Islander fan. We were talking about that back then. And, I mean, I love the Islanders, and I always have a place on my heart for the Islanders. But I waited a long time for hockey to come in like this, and I'm a partial season ticket holder, and this is just great. And it's great that you're involved with it, because let me tell you, you've got a great show, and I listen to your show when you're out in California. And we're talking about this is back in 1998-99.
Thanks, my friend. Good to hear from you. It means a lot that you're still around and a partial season ticket holder. You're a diehard fan. And what a similarity, too, because both Islander fans. I had to give up the Islanders this year for the rest of my life, as I'm now a Vegas Golden Knights fan. I made the decision. It was difficult. I don't make light decisions, but with an inaugural expansion team, it was easy to pick one over another. I think a lot of fans will do the same again next year. Now that this team is underway, we've seen what a big part they are in the community. I think we're going to see a lot more fans next year. And the ticket thing is interesting for me today because I didn't get online and try to do it, but I know a lot of other people tried to get some tickets today, and I believe they hit a brick wall. I don't know. And they're serious about that. They want to put tickets on sale, and the NHL oversees this with the Golden Knights. There were tickets that went on the market today, but I don't know of anybody who got any. And if you were able to get any, give us your secret. Was it the speed of your modem? Was it you were up there? Did you have 6 devices open at once? What'd you do to get these extra tickets for these games? And we're still waiting. We're going to have the voice of the Sharks on, Dan Ruzanowski. I can promise you no one will tell you more about this team than Dan, the longtime voice. I've known him a long time. He's a great hockey play-by-play guy. A lot of respect, a kind man, but he'll tell you about this team as good as anybody else out there. How worthy are the Sharks? Well, they won in a sweep. They're a rival, and they're rested. And this team needed the rest. They're an older team, an older roster, so we'll talk to him. And coming up next, Vinny Bonsignore, the godfather of NFL relocation, which is the Vegas move with the Raiders. He now covers the Rams, and we'll talk to him about the draft. We have a draft expert on every night this week heading into Thursday night. Fox's coverage, it's on Big Fox TV. Troy Aikman going to be a part of it. Fox breaking out the big boys for network television Thursday night. The NFL draft on Fox. This is Fox Sports Radio.
When you look at the guys that have had success that are his height and even a little bit shorter, I'm shorter. I think Russell's a little bit shorter than Baker. So, I mean, I think that, you know, what he's done and the numbers he's put up and success he's had the last 3 years at Oklahoma, I think he's overcome the size issue.
John Elway, as Denver gets ready with a high draft pick in the draft, JT back with you on the home of the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Radio. Vinny Bonsignore, the godfather of NFL relocation, and obviously covers the Rams. And what a team that is now as they load it up in the offseason. They get ready. You can check him out for the great work that he does for the Los Angeles Daily News. And Vinny, since I spoke to you last, free agency for the Rams and coming in where they're going to be a little bit light with a couple of draft picks early, but overall, a really good offseason for L.A.
Yeah, I think that, you know, general manager Les Snead and head coach Sean McVay are going to be kicking up their heels a little bit on the first day of the draft because their work in terms of getting done what they really need, they felt they needed to get done, has already been completed. Now, they still have a hole at inside linebacker. They've got some in-house candidates to replace Alec Ogletree, who they traded away. They do need to find another outside linebacker. They traded away Robert Quinn as well. But they feel like there's prospects in the draft, that there's people on their current roster, and that there's some secondary free agent candidates out there that could come in here and take care of those two positions. But other than that, I mean, it's been a tremendous offseason for them. When you talk about Ndamukong Suh, Brandon Cooks, Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib, these are Pro Bowl caliber players who they've added to an already really strong roster. And that's why you're going to see them on TV a lot next year, national TV a lot next year. I think the league and television is catching on to the power that's being built here in Los Angeles.
Vinny, should we be sensing more to the story? Because I look for the story, and you're great at finding it. It looks like a team that is trying to win quickly, but they have a stadium on the horizon where you want to be peaking going into the new building, which will be the greatest building in all of sports around the globe for the price. Why now? Why is it this year? Was it because of the success last year and they figure they only need to make a couple of moves, they can win the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think last year, if they don't go 11-5 last year, win a division title, if Jared Goff doesn't establish himself as a bona fide NFL quarterback, and Todd Gurley doesn't rebound from a terrible sophomore season to an offensive player of the year in the NFL third season, I don't think you would see these type of moves right now. I think that they believe that they have a window of opportunity, and it's not just for now, because if you look at Marcus Peters, if you look at Brandon Cooks, they're both 25 or 26 and under, which goes well with Todd Gurley, who's 25 and under, and Jared Goff, who's 22 years old. And Aaron Donald, who's still just 26 years old. So they feel like they have those pieces as a foundation, along with a great young head coach that it looks like NFL players are eager to come play for, and obviously the sunshine of Los Angeles, a great new building that's opening up. They feel like they have a young core that they're going to be able to build around for the next 5-6 years. So this is, while it is, hey, we've got an opportunity here, we want to win right now, it's not being sacrificed for anything in the future. They still have $100 million under the cap next year and even more the year after that. Now, granted, that's going to change when they re-sign Aaron Donald and they re-sign Brandon Cooks and then Todd Gurley comes up and Jared Goff comes up, but they have the money to keep those guys And that's the critical aspect of this.
Vinny Bonsignor is our guest. Let's get to the draft at number one and four, Cleveland. I've talked to a couple of really good insiders. I think the number one player, Saquon Barkley, because of what happened with Zeke Elliott. And I'm not talking about his problems off the field, but just how explosive he was coming into this league and what he's done for the Cowboys and their offense. I think he can do the same thing to stabilize Cleveland, and they get a quarterback at number four still. There's plenty of quarterbacks out there, and if Dorsey wants to get a quarterback later in the draft, maybe he'll be a maverick and do that. But a lot of people are on edge here, Vinny, wondering if Josh Allen would be a rogue pick to me coming out of Wyoming. You got Rosen, who people are still evaluating. What type of player will he be in a big market compared to a small market? What are you hearing through your sources on what Cleveland's going to do Thursday night?
Well, first of all, I agree with you. I think Saquon Barkley is the best player in this draft. Obviously, you need a quarterback, but he's Adrian Peterson too, and those guys don't come around very often. If you look at the Vikings, when Adrian was there, even when they didn't have good quarterbacks, he got them into the playoffs. And the other part of this is, if you are debating who the number one quarterback is on your board, if you're torn between Josh Allen and Sam Darnold, and maybe let's just throw Josh Rosen in there. If you're torn between those three guys, then take the running back, who's the clear-cut best player in this draft, and then at four, decide amongst who's still left among the three guys that you're having trouble debating upon. And you still end up with the best player in the draft and still probably your quarterback of the future. So that's what I would do. I don't think that that's what they're going to do. I think at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, they're going to take Sam Darnold number one. That's just how I feel. Mm-hmm. I think that's what they should do, because I do believe he is the best quarterback in this draft. But it is the Browns. It's John Dorsey, their new general manager. He's going to want to put his stamp on this franchise right now. But there's no doubt that that's the most intriguing aspect of this draft. At one and four, they control the top end of this draft.
Yeah, Dorsey really lucked out to go to a franchise that didn't win a game, to see this situation, which is literally rock bottom, I think we'd agree, and to have 1-4 and to have great players. It's not like there's just a player or two. You got to get them early. There are unbelievable players in the first 8 to 10 picks, in my mind. We'll move to the Raiders with Vinny Bonsignor joining us from the LA Daily News. You really did an amazing job, and I keep telling everybody this in Vegas who weren't covering or paying attention to the story before the Raiders got here, at least in approval with the vote. You know, Mark Davis, Sheldon Adelson, the governor, and all that, and you really broke it down on how it had to work politically. Now, Reggie McKenzie and John Gruden work a war room together. And Reggie's got respect through Mark Davis, and he's hit a couple of home runs. A couple of players have not worked out. And John Gruden comes in, not only a talent evaluator, anybody evaluated every single team last year under a microscope for his job on Monday night, plus his extra work dealing with top prospects. What do you think that war room is going to be like for the Raiders?
It's so interesting how that dynamic is going to work. My gut instincts tell me that John Gruden is going to get the final call, but it's going to be in collaboration with Reggie. And you know, one of the great things about this for the Raiders, John Gruden has a 10-year contract. He's going to be here for the long haul, or pretty much as long as he wants to be here, short of face planting his first 3 years or so, which I don't expect that to happen. So I don't expect any crazy moves. I think he's going to methodically build this team in his image and putting his stamp on this team, knowing that he's got longevity here. So there's no rush to do anything insane or crazy just because, hey, I got to stir it up or I got to win right now, which I think they're going to win anyway, regardless of who they take at their first pick. So they don't have to do a reach. They don't have to do anything nuts. Just take the best player available. I think it's going to be somebody on defense. I think John's touch offensively and what he's going to be able to do for Derek Carr and that offense is going to speak for itself. I just go best player available, and I believe it's going to be on defense.
Vinny Bonsignor, last one. I'll go first. When the schedule came out and I saw the Rams-Raiders Monday Night Football in Oakland, Gruden's first game, the Raider organization will be winding it down in years to come in Oakland. I said, this is when the Raiders want the Rams. You get the Rams coming off the preseason where a lot of those starters won't play a lot. The hype of Gruden and the energy of the black hole and the fact that both organizations respect each other, but again, it's a Raider home game on Monday night against a team that I think is going to get better and better in the Rams once the season gets going. What'd your gut tell you when you saw that game leading off Monday night?
Absolutely, and let's throw in all kinds of subplots. I mean, John Gruden gave Sean McVay his chance. I mean, he was a young kid coming out of college, and John realized something, you know, some special in him, and gave him his first job with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So there's the teacher-pupil aspect of it. The Rams are a Super Bowl contender. They want to make a great statement on Monday Night Football on that great stage. But it's on the road. It's Jon Gruden's first start. You know that the Raiders are going to be playing all out for their first year head coach, their you know, the guy that's back in place. So it's a tough challenge for the Rams. We're already, what, 5-6 months away from this game? But I'm already thinking about it, and I can tell you this. L.A. Raider fans and L.A. Ram fans are already starting, you know, the Twitter war, if you want to call it like that. About this game already, because, and let's face it, they also face each other in the preseason, which I know it's a preseason game, and I don't think that, you know, either team is going to play their starters, but that is going to be a crazy scene at the Coliseum, because you just know that LA Raider fans want to show in force and show the Rams who still owns Los Angeles. So a whole bunch of subplots. It couldn't be a better way to open up the season with those two teams on Monday night in Oakland.
Thank you, Vinny. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Always appreciate your insight.
You too, man. Take care.
All right. Vinny Bonsignor, LA Daily News. Really good. I think he's radio gold because he covers a team and he knows every other team and has sources around the league, works for a big paper in Los Angeles. That's a huge game. We didn't get into that a lot last week because of the success of the Vegas Golden Knights. But to me, and he just said 5-6 months away. Yeah, he's right. We're talking September. And to me, that game feels like it's 5 weeks away. It does. For my brain, it feels like Raiders-Rams, the opener, is 5-6 weeks away, and it's still that far off. If the Raiders beat the Rams on Monday night, and they're already an underdog at home by 1.5, and I expect there to be a line move at some point, if the Raiders win that game, Gruden's off to the races because he's at Denver, and then he's got Cleveland, Miami, and Cleveland. Then the Raiders can get off to a good start. You lose on Monday night to the Rams, and a short week you got to go to Denver. Back isn't up against the wall, but it's not the start that the Raider Nation wants to see. Can't wait for the NFL season to get underway. If you're a Knights fan, you want to get through, give us a call now, 876-1340 on Twitter, at JT the Brick. Our next guest coming up will be the voice of the San Jose Sharks. We got a shot. He said, JT, call me whenever you need me. Got to the point it was uncomfortable. We were texting back and forth for like 3 or 4 days. It's like, when are they going to play? We don't even know when the game is. And I got you the voice of the Sharks. Dan Rusinowski goes on a deep dive with the opponents coming into Vegas and T-Mobile and trying to stop this party. It's a party. NHL.com, the NHL Network, the Canadians to the north, they're jealous. Vegas, the weather's amazing. Palm trees, hockey, and a really good hockey team. Brought to you by PT's Entertainment. Head on out to the SG Bar or Sierra Gold.
Seconds. Right side the pass for Watson. Watson curls it back, and that does it. It took 6 games, and the Predators were able to knock out the Colorado Avalanche from their Cinderella story here.
Yeah, Nashville Predators radio, they move on, and they were supposed to. They're supposed to move on, but got to give Colorado some credit. And how about Alexander Ovechkin and the Capitals coming back and what we've seen? And I heard Steve and Adam talking about it when I was driving in also today about Philadelphia getting eliminated and throwing those beer cans, some from high up, onto the ice and what happened after that game. That was an ugly, ugly look by Philadelphia, a market that's had so many ugly looks in sports history. I give them a lot of credit for winning the Super Bowl. And when they win, they deserve credit. But the fan behavior after that elimination was absolutely brutal, unacceptable on every level. You know, for years I've been lucky to talk to Dan Rusinowski nationally or locally in the Bay Area, and now he joins us as the voice of the Sharks. And Dan, as far as we go back, I never thought I'd be talking to you from the Golden Knights flagship. How about this team, just like your team, getting out of the first round in a sweep?
Well, it's fabulous. And, of course, as you know, it's only the eighth time in NHL history that two teams have won by a sweep and then faced each other in the next round. And I was just looking at this, and out of the previous occurrences, all but one, the winner of the series went on to win the Stanley Cup. So you could say that that's a nice setup for what should be a classic series and certainly some expectations and excitement in two great hockey cities.
Now, before we get to the Sharks, when you saw the Knights for the first time in this new rivalry, what did you see? Did their speed jump out at you instantly? And then the grit after these teams played their series this season?
I think what jumped out at me, JT, was just the relentless pressure that they put on. And that's a characteristic of a Gerard Gallant coach team. That goes back to his junior career back in the Quebec Major Junior League. That's the way he likes his teams to play. And it just so happens that's the trend of the game. But what George McPhee did so brilliantly was to put together basically a couple of second lines and a couple of third lines, no first line, no fourth line exactly. And the whole is definitely greater than the sum of its parts. So these guys make decisions quickly. They do it in a skillful fashion. And they've got that extra grit that you talked about, which we expected with some of the guys that are on that roster. And, you know, a lot of people didn't expect William Karlsson to score as many goals as he had. But we know that he played with a great deal of gusto. I remember John Tortorella saying how much he liked him when they had him in Columbus. And we had seen him a little bit before that. So none of that surprises me whatsoever. A guy like Jonathan Marchessault, I've liked since he played for the Tampa Bay Lightning. And so these are players that are not unknown to any of us, and certainly a great job by the organization to put it together in their first year and have the ride that they've had.
Play-by-play voice of the San Jose Sharks, Dan Rusinowski, kind enough to join us. One more thing on Vegas with those four lines. You've been doing this a long time. It's rare. Some of the great teams, and Vegas isn't great yet. They just won one round. It's their expansion inaugural year. But I remember great Stanley Cup teams of the past that would be able to roll at least three really good lines, and then the fourth had some good players. It's rare that it works with an inaugural expansion team, let alone teams that you don't know what you're going to get on certain nights from one through four.
Well, that's right, and you have to tip your cap to the NHL, first of all, for setting up the expansion system, but also George McPhee and Murray Craven and Kelly Kissio and all of the great people that Bill Foley brought into the organization to put this club together. Yeah, they had an advantage over the Sharks, and you know, we kind of look back at it and laugh a little bit. The difference between getting into the NHL back in 91 for George Gund and Bill Foley in 2017 was $450 million.
Yeah.
The Sharks paid $50 million, and Bill paid $500 million. So for that amount of difference, I suppose he probably should get some good players. And you know what? I think instead of having a fraternity-like initiation, the NHL is realizing that the new franchises need to be successful and need to be competitive off the hop to establish the franchises in the game in those communities rather than waiting 8 to 10 years before you can do anything, or at least in the Sharks' case, 3 years before they made the playoffs and had that incredible run for the first time, which we can get into a little bit later if you like. But I think that's just a great story. I think it's a model for any new team coming into any professional sports league. And other teams and other leagues, I know, are taking a look at this very, very closely as to how it's been put together.
Dan Rusinowski's our guest, voice of the Sharks. Is it fair to say that Joe Thornton could go if he has to go, the future Hall of Famer, but the luxury of all this time off to get him right, and maybe you don't have to have him ruled out for game one, he can play in this series and be a great player. That's a player that the Vegas Golden Knights are concerned about, and he's a matchup nightmare.
Well, he's a Hall of Famer, no doubt, and we consider Joe Thornton to be actually Superman in disguise, given the fact that last season in the playoffs against Edmonton, he had a torn ACL and a torn MCL, and he played on it, and then he had surgery after the season. This year, maybe not so lucky. He got injured in against Winnipeg back in January, and he's getting a lot closer. He's in his late 30s, but this is a guy that we just consider so highly, and we're going to be telling stories about Joe Thornton's remarkable comeback from that injury in the playoffs, number one, where he was effective against Edmonton, and then when he got back in time for the start of training camp and was having a really good year when he was injured again. These are things that you tell young players about what it means to be filled with resolve and determination and work ethic, because when you've got top players like that, future Hall of Famers, that are working as hard or harder than anybody else on the ice, it's just a tremendous example. It goes through the lineup, and you know that goes through the Sharks leadership group with people like Joe Pavelski and Marc-Edouard Vlasic and Martin Jones and so many others. And as you said, the Sharks, like Vegas, have a good four-line group of people that they can roll through. So they can afford to maybe not rush Joe Thornton to get back, and that's a great luxury to have right now.
You know, this, the Knights just went through Doughty of the Kings, one of the greatest or current best defenses defensemen out there. But Brett Burns, I've always thought, was at another level when you looked at his overall ability, size, strength, the ability to get easy goals, hard goals, just tough to clear out when he's on the power play. Talk about his season and his status and the strength and the backbone of this franchise.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, he's had a really strong season. And the first thing people probably look at is his plus-minus number this year, which was minus for sure, and say, well, what happened to the Norris Trophy winner? But I have to say, in the second half of the year, he has been extraordinarily conservative with his play in the defensive zone, making good decisions. And the one thing about a guy like this is that he's got a bit of a riverboat gambler attitude in that he sees a play that's possible. And instead of doing the safe thing, he tries to do the thing that could be something great. And so when it doesn't work, it sometimes goes the other way. He's got Paul Martin as his D partner for part of the year, most of the year now, and also Joakim Ryan, who's kind of learned how to play with a guy like that. And the rest of the guys certainly will take all of the fact that he generates chances toward the net better than anybody in the NHL. Right at the top in terms of getting shots to the goal, but also attempts on net. And that's the name of the game these days, Brick. You know, that's what you have to do. You have to get the puck in front. You have to get multiple chances. And he's one of the reasons why they do that. But I think his defensive play, especially in the second half of the year, is sometimes overlooked. And this guy just does it all for this team. And I think is going to get the benefit of this rest, because he's been banged up a little bit at times during the year, missed a couple days of practice, but looks like he's going to be just fine for game number one, and that's great news for people in the Sharks organization.
It's great to have Dan Rusinowski on, as we're the flagship, the Vegas Golden Knights. He's a longtime voice of the Sharks, and he joins us on Fox Sports Radio. Dan, wrapping this up, the goaltenders, and tell us more about Martin Jones, because Fleury, the fans here already, especially the fans that were new to hockey and didn't have the deep roots of some of the diehards around this country, and especially the Canadians, to get Fleury and to see him play this way against Jonathan Quick and then get all of this rest. Talk about the goaltender matchup, because Fleury's special and Martin Jones has played in a great series.
You know what's one of the really interesting things about this goaltending matchup? I think it might be the most important factor in the series, and I think it's going to be one of the most interesting comparisons that you could make, because Marc-Andre Fleury is in the prime of his career. By comparison, the Sharks had Jeff Hackett, Brian Hayward, and Jarmo Milas to start their expansion times. And these guys have a three-time Stanley Cup champion with all of that experience, but more importantly, off the ice, the great leadership ability he has, the demeanor that he has in the locker room, and when he hits the ice, when the going gets tough. People forget that, you know, even though Matt Murray was the starting goaltender for the Pittsburgh Penguins these last couple of Stanley Cups, you go back and look and see some of the injured times that Murray was dealing with that, and that, you know, Fleury had to be an absolutely key factor in their playoff runs at one point or another. And so this is a guy that's seen it all, that's done it all, and is in the prime of his career. On the flip side, you've got Martin Jones. And again, let's talk about what really makes a goaltender an elite goaltender. I think it comes down to, obviously, athleticism and studying the game. But that demeanor that you have, that the fact that when the puck goes in against you, which it inevitably does in this league, it's the best in the world, you have to have the attitude and the calmness to get your guys in the right frame of mind to get right back to work. And I don't think that there's been one playoff series since Martin Jones has been a goaltender for the Sharks in which he's been out-goaltended by the other side. And, you know, that goes right to Matt Murray in the Stanley Cup Final 2016. You look at game number five in that series, and Martin Jones faced 46 shots, made 44 stops, and won 4-2 in a game where the Sharks could have been shaking hands. And, yeah, they didn't win the Stanley Cup, but he shows me that he's got that ability. And, you know, he learned that from Jonathan Quick when he was backing him up in Los Angeles. You guys just saw a great goaltender on the other side and a good matchup against Fleury in a low-scoring series. And I just think that is one of the most interesting things that we're going to see in this round number two, how Martin Jones handles things and how Marc-Andre Fleury does the same on the other side. And I'm just fascinated by it.
Dan, last one. You know me as a fan behind a microphone. These fans, these Shark fans, since the inaugural season, you're the voice of this team from the inaugural season. I thought you would have had a few cups by now, because there were some great teams in the last 10 years that just hit – either some bad luck or some better teams that were hotter at the time, and now you're on the doorstep again coming off a sweep. How important is this fan combination? Vegas is sitting here saying, bring it on. This is the best thing. Entertainment capital of the world. We love it. But the Shark fans have paid their dues as hard as any fan base that I've covered the last 20 years.
Well, I think you put that so eloquently, Brick. And you know what? I think this is going to be a reminder in many respects to the Sharks' first trip to the playoffs. And I think that San Jose's hoping it goes that way in this round, because in round number one, they beat Detroit, and then they played Toronto, the mecca of hockey in English-speaking Canada. And they took the Maple Leafs to seven games that first year. Now, Vegas is a much better team than the one the Sharks had, although that was a special group of guys that was on that team with Larionov and Makarov and Jamie Baker and Artur Zerbe in goal. But I think that what you talk about paying the dues, you know, I recognized it when the Sharks went to the Stanley Cup Final in 16. Right after they beat St. Louis in the conference final, we had people on the streets of San Jose literally crying and going out to celebrate, going up to coaches and players, leaving the building and saying thank you for how much investment we've put emotionally into this team, let alone financially. And so, in the middle of all that, it goes back to 94 again, when everybody wanted to see the new team that made the playoffs, and everybody was excited about the great run the Sharks had, and they had the hockey world really paying attention. That's what's going on in Vegas right now, with a tremendous atmosphere at T-Mobile, and the fans who live and work in Vegas really putting their arms around the team and getting a sense of community with the team. I just think that it's so reminiscent of what we've been through. And of course, the Sharks, having paid their dues and gone through everything, just looking for the opportunity to move forward and to get closer to that very first Stanley Cup. And the difference now between, this team this year and the last couple of editions that you've referenced that haven't won is they really know what it takes to win. And that's what that run to 2016's final did for them. You've got a whole bunch of guys on this team that have been through the ringer. They know exactly what it takes to win. And that's why I'm seeing a different level of resolve, even though they've been challenged from the very start of the year with, say, the absence of Patrick Marleau, 27 goals, leaves for Toronto. Then Joe Thornton gets hurt. You have two top Hall of Fame guys like that not available to you, and yet you continually find different ways to win. And I think that that's something that's very, very a good sign for this team heading into round two and potentially further. And on the flip side, you've got all of the energy and excitement and everything that's happened in Vegas. So I think we're setting things up for a long, intense, and fascinating series that's going to be one we'll talk about for a long time.
Thanks for doing this, my friend. Meant a lot. And when you find out when we're playing, let us know. Have you ever dealt with this? I mean, this is incredible that we're sitting around waiting for Vegas to get these dates and times, and fans are trying to buy tickets today. This is a rarity, but it's going to be worth the wait.
Hey, I'm trying to tell radio stations what time our first broadcast is, and we don't have any information yet. It's a little bit hairy, but I hopefully it'll be solved by tonight, and I'll be able to at least not pull all my hair out before game number one.
Thank you, Dan. See you out there soon.
Okay, bud. See you.
Dan Rusinowski. Radio gold. He's fantastic. Could have did another 10 minutes with him. That's the Sharks. I wanted to get the question in on the fans and what they've been through. 2016 Stanley Cup final, they lose. That was a Stanley Cup team. When the Kings won two of their cups recently, I thought the Sharks were better in one of those years. And the Sharks lately have really gone out in flames in the postseason. And now they're looking at the Golden Knights saying, you got to be kidding me. We're in the second round taking on an expansion team. Give me some of that. But they know how good this team is. They know how good Vegas is. Vegas isn't typical. This is going to be epic. They won in a sweep. Golden Knights win in a sweep. That's the play-by-play, boys. We'll have Dan Duvon at some point here in the next week or so as the series gets moving. This is where you come for your Sharks coverage along with the NFL draft coming up this week. We'll come back. We'll wrap it up. Great lineup coming up with Looney at the top of the hour. We'll tell you about that. And just think about all the promotions at PT's throughout April. I have a feeling they're going to be pushing it into May because this hockey team's not playing anytime soon yet in April. And we're going to keep playing hockey maybe into June. Hey, it's a long road. And the road is right here on the flagship of the Golden Knights, Fox Sports Radio. JT wrapping it up. Thanks to Bobby. Dan Rusinowski, the voice of the San Jose Sharks, and Vinny Bonsignore from the LA Daily News. Coming up here at the bottom of the hour, Chris Broussard from Fox Sports 1, the NBA insider, CBS football insider Jason Lockenfora will join me about 6:15 p.m., and also one of the insiders for the New Orleans Pelicans, Scott Kushner from the New Orleans Advocate, as Anthony Davis and this team continues to advance, and the show's on in New Orleans tonight, and we're excited about those fans. Do they have a shot at beating the Warriors? I would say no. But Anthony Davis is playing like a beast, and Steph Curry isn't back yet. He might miss a game or two in that series. Again, hope you enjoyed the show. Love those guests, and let's keep the hockey talk going. Get out to City National for practice. Keep calling the show, and head on out to PT's, courtesy of Golden Entertainment, all their spots in the Valley, all their specials that they have throughout April, the food, the drink, the gaming. But the rabid Knight fans who are finding themselves inside of PT's on game night, on hockey night, as the crowds pick up for hockey fans seeing a team advancing into the playoffs. We'll be back with Looney here at the top of the hour. We're on Facebook also at JT the Brick. For Bobby, good job, Bobby, with the Red Sox cap and the Ramones t-shirt. Love the old school.